Welcome again to The Harvest. It's so good to have you here today with us, and thank you for taking the next 30 minutes of your time to listen to what God is doing all across the world. We're excited to have with us today as our special guest, a missionary who's been called to the nation, or rather, to the nation of the United Arab Emirates, to a city by the name of Dubai. You've probably heard of it. And we're going to call her Jackie. And so, Jackie, we're glad to have you with us today. Welcome to The Heart.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, it's great to have you with us. I'm sure that as we get started here today, people are looking at you. They're saying, okay. A lot of times there's interviews on The Harvest that are men. But here we have a woman. And so I'm interested to find out a little bit more about, okay, is she married? Is she out by herself? What's going on? What's God called her to do? So tell us a little bit about now. So are you married, or do you have a family to go with you to Dubai?
Nope, it's just me.
Just you.
Single, no kids.
Okay, very good. And so you have you and your cat.
Yes, I adopted a cat in Dubai.
Do you get to take your cat with you, or does that cat just stay there?
The cat is actually here in the States with me right now.
Okay, good. That's good. And so you're here in the United States. You're on some sort of furlough right now, and you'll be going back into Dubai, correct?
Yes, correct. At the end of August. So I'm here just for the summer.
Okay, very good. So that's great, because there's a lot of countries that, through COVID or through just being hostile to the gospel, they really are just kind of pushing the missionaries away. But that's not happening in Dubai. Is that correct?
That's correct. In the UAE, things are quite open right now, sure. At least in Dubai, the Emirate of Dubai. So a lot of expats live there, work there. A lot of tourists are coming in. Not so much in the summer. It is so hot right now. It's 115 degrees in Dubai. So it's not the height of tourist season in Dubai, but there are tourists that do visit. And yeah, it's safe, it's stable, it's open. Probably 60-70% of the population is vaccinated by now, so they're moving things forward after a year of being closed with the pandemic. They're opening back up and getting the economy started again. So, yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. So, I guess the question that I would like to ask you first is, why Dubai? Why are you even going into missions? Tell us about your calling and how that all happened.
Sure. I'm there because God told me to go there. yeah, I was born and raised in Michigan, which is where I am right now, staying with family. And when I graduated from college in December 1997, long time ago, and God actually called me to Nashville to work in the music business. So I moved to Nashville, Tennessee to work in Christian music, and I was there for 14 years. And I worked in communications and marketing and publishing, magazine publishing, did a lot of editing and writing, kind of, that's what my degree was in, English writing, and loved it. I thought I would be in Nashville until Kingdom Come, but God interrupted me along the way about 2006, and he asked, would you give all of this up if I asked you to? Would you give up your company, your byline? Would you give up your reputation here in the business? If I asked you to, and I said, of course, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm not expecting to have a follow-up to that of okay, it's time to go, right? So in 2007, he actually, he kind of moved me more in that direction and just started speaking things to me of, you'll be working with university students, you'll be mobilizing young people to go work among Muslims, and you'll be reaching Muslims yourself. And through a series of just the Holy Spirit speaking very clearly to me. In 2007, I went back to school. I went to Fuller Theological Seminary. I got my master's degree in cross-cultural studies. And from there, I took a position with a group called Global Initiative, Reaching Muslim People. It's an international ministry based out of Springfield, Missouri. And I started there in 2012. And I was their kind of marketing director and also their mobilization director for university students. So God kind of took everything that I was doing in Nashville in terms of how to publish magazines, how to just refining my editing skills, communication and marketing skills, how to code a website, all these random things that I was doing in Nashville that I thought was going to be my career and my life. He put those all in my little toolbox and I carried them to Springfield and started working with Global Initiative. And I was there for 2 years. And part of my job there was to take trips with university students to various places where work among Muslims is happening. And so I was with a group of students from SAGU, which is AG school in Texas. And we went to Cairo for a week, and then we went to Dubai for a week. And I had been to Cairo before. My sister and brother-in-law lived there. But I had never been to Dubai. I really didn't know much about it. This is in 2014. And while we were in Dubai, we were riding the metro train just through downtown going to, I don't remember where we were going, but I just kind of breathed a prayer. I was like, oh God, I could live here. And the Holy Spirit spoke in that moment. He said, good, this is your city. Start praying for this city. And I was like, really? And I said, okay. And I came home and I told my brother-in-law, Dick, I said, this is what the Holy Spirit spoken to me. And he told their area director and ended up transferring from Global Initiative to work with the Arab World region. And I continued doing mobilization. And then that's when things kind of really took shape in a oddly surprising way, where all of my editing skills that I had been using in the music industry, I started using them more. I was doing social media for Live Dead Arab World. I was doing communications for our area director. Live Dead, as if you're familiar with Live Dead, we have a lot of journals and books that we produce. I started taking those over. I edit those books and work with our designers to produce those books. And that's when that all started. And so it was just a matter of time. I did kind of mobilization still in social media for a couple of years in the States as things were progressing. They were kind of waiting for the right time to launch team into Dubai. And so they had my name on the list and they were just kind of waiting for that timing to all come together. And in the summer of, well, in 2016, it was starting to come together and they asked if I would go to Oman, Muscat, Oman, which is just south of the UAE, and to go to language school and start there and do 2 years of Arabic study in Muscat. So I did that in 2017 to 2019. And then in October of 2019, I moved to Dubai and kind of that dream that had been there for a little over 5 years suddenly had come to fruition. And I landed in Dubai in October and we launched our Live Dead church planting team at the same time. And yeah. So it's been quite a journey of many years. I never expected to be in missions. My sister and brother-in-law have been doing it since 1993. And I always thought one missionary in the family is pretty good, right? You know, what family sends more than one child overseas to do missions? But when you hear the voice of God, there are a few, there are more actually now. Than there were probably in the 90s, but it all just happened when I said yes. And you just keep saying yes, and God just takes you on this amazing journey where I never would expect to be doing this, but I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I can't imagine doing anything else.
And that is so, there's a couple of things that I want to ask you. First, I want you to clarify for people that don't know, what is Live Dead?
Sure. Live Dead is a church planting initiative that was born and it's kind of stewarded by Assemblies of God World Missions. And we are in 9 regions around the world. We're in Africa, Arab World, Israel, Palestine, Iran, the Silk Road, Russia, India, the Chinese world, and Southern Asia, which is the Maldives, Nepal, Bangladesh, Myanmar.
And why do they call it Live Dead?
So Live Dead, it's based on the verse in John that says, you know, if a seed is planted and dies, it will bear much fruit. And so we are about obedience unto Jesus to go to the places where people have not had access to the gospel, where they've never heard the name of Jesus, so that we can live as if we're dead and to see fruit multiply, to see churches planted among unreached people around the world. So we are a multi-agency, multinational, and multi-generational group of people that are in all these areas doing church planting to see churches planted among these unreached people.
If people are interested in this, by the way, I'd like mm-hmm. us to put a link to Live Dead at the bottom of our screen so that folks that are listening might know a little bit more about it. So. We're going to put that on there for you as viewers to click on, and you can find out a little bit more about Live Dead. But I want to go back, Jackie, to something that you said at the first part of your story, and that was, I want to say it was roughly about 2004, 2005, 2006, somewhere in there, where you just said the Lord said, "Would you be willing to give all of this up?" The Nashville experience, all of the things that you're doing there in Nashville at that point. Would you be willing to give all of this up? Under what context were you? Were you at a church? Were you at home? What was going on there that caused that to happen?
So I was, at the time, I owned my own writing, editing business. So I was just, you know, I worked from home. I was a freelancer with, you know, record companies and different magazine publications that worked in Christian music. And that was my business. And so I remember it was April of 2006. It was around Easter time. And I feel like I was actually babysitting somebody's kids while they were out of town. Okay. Silly random. I was kind of not even like in my own home.
It's not like you were at a mission service where a missionary was sharing the stories and building up to the moment to say, "Now, how about you?" That wasn't like that at all, was it?
It wasn't like that at all. It was very much in a, I was by myself, just in my personal space, right? And I don't know if it was just something I was thinking about in terms of what can I do next with my job? Because at that time, like I accomplished nothing. God gave me so many opportunities in Nashville, and I did so many things before the age of 30 that I never would have imagined doing, like ever. And I think it was just in a moment of like, what comes next? Like I can continue to do freelance work, but is there something more for me? And, he interrupted in that still small voice and asked me that question. And I heard him and responded. And it just started me on this wild journey to be in this place, exactly where I'm supposed to be, exactly this time.
That's so cool. I sometimes when people get the call, you know, let's say, where God speaks to them and stuff like that, I think we think that it needs to be in some sort of environment like a church setting or, you know, a missions conference or a special evangelistic crusade or I don't know, something like that, you know. But he can speak to us anytime, in any way. And I've got a feeling, Jackie, that it wasn't just as you were babysitting and kind of randomly asking that question, it seems. I got to feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that leading up to that, there was this stirring, there was this sense of maybe uneasiness, like, you know, I feel like there's just something more that brought that question to you. Maybe flesh that out a little bit more.
Yeah, I think because I was familiar with the need, having my sister and brother-in-law, at that time they were working in Sudan, and they were kind of the format that they were using in terms of their church planting team is what became Live Dead. And so I was helping my brother-in-law. He's like, "Well, my sister-in-law is a magazine editor in Nashville and I would love to use." So he was one of my clients in terms of putting together a magazine to express what they were doing in Sudan and to mobilize for the need. And so working on that, I think over the course of a couple of years, it had been about 2 years at that point that we had been putting a magazine together a couple of times a year, just seeing the need. I think I knew just using the skills that God had given me to that point to help him create this magazine that could go out to all of these supporters and churches in the States to share the need about unreached peoples. Because at that point, this was the early 2000s, it was UPGs was still kind of a new thing in terms of terminology for the church in America.
Yeah, so what is a UPG? You're speaking a foreign language to me.
So an unreached people group is a group that has
UPG.
Less than,
all right.
Yeah,
got
it's
it.
An unreached people group, less than 2% evangelical. They don't have a catalyst that can come in. They need a catalyst to come in with the gospel to get them moving in the right direction so that they can evangelize their own people. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. A couple of things here, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but from what I'm able to understand of what you do is you do more of the back office stuff, the IT stuff, the web stuff, the communication through social media, what I'll call more back office. In other words, you're not necessarily the one standing up in front of people preaching. You're not leading worship. You're not the face necessarily of what's going on there. You provide the face for it in different ways through your skills. And not by the way, not to diminish what you're doing. I'm saying that for the reason that there's people that are watching here today. And I'll say this, Jackie, what you're doing is of utmost importance, especially in our day and age where we're back in the late 1990s when you were graduating and kind of getting into this whole thing in Nashville. Your skill sets were being honed, but that was really before the advent of, I mean, the internet was there. Social media hadn't quite, you know, come about. Yep. Smartphones were still a few years away, you know, and that instant accessibility. But yet God was preparing you because he knew that what 2010 and 2015 and 2020 would look like and how it would become the most prominent and major source of communication that really the world knows right now, at least to the generation coming up after us. So I love the fact that that God prepared you before you knew what you were being prepared for. You thought you were being prepared to have a career in Nashville doing those things, which again, nothing wrong with that, but God knew the future and he knew why you were where you were and learning the things that you were learning and had the desires that you had that he placed in you. And there's people that are watching that are actually maybe feeling like, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a missionary, you know, that's going to go halfway around the world necessarily. And we kind of talk ourselves out of anything that God would have for us to do because we're not necessarily the face, but as the body of Christ is, you think about our bodies. I mean, I got a big toe, and you know, I got other parts of my body that are just as important as my mouth. All of it together works really well for me to function, you know, like I need to. And so, what would you speak to those people, Jackie, that maybe are watching, saying, "Well, I have some skill sets and I'm working in the secular market and I'm doing my thing, but yet there's this nagging inside of me that I feel like I need to do, I could probably do more. And how can I use my skill sets to glorify God?" Can maybe you speak to that for folks that maybe are not the preachers and the singers and in our viewership here?
Absolutely. I would love to. Because that's my team. I lead a team of three families. And all three of them are marketplace workers. We're all bivocational workers in Dubai. That's how we have access to the country, is by taking a job within the country and then using those opportunities through our job, through our neighbors, to do ministry among Muslims. So if in Dubai, it's a golden opportunity for anybody of any job to come and find work and have access to the country and then do ministry among your Muslim neighbors. So I have one family that works in education. I have one family that works in engineering. I have one family that works in the tourism transportation field. And I myself, I'm an editor writer in the city. And so I'm a freelancer and can work for anybody who needs things edited or written in English. I also have clients, a lot of clients outside. I have clients in Oman. I have clients in Saudi. I have clients in America that support my business to give me access into the country. And so, you know, right now I'm looking for somebody who is passionate about social media management and marketing to come join our team and be a freelancer that can help other people in the city do that, but can also lead a media follow-up for our team so that we can reach out to people who are seeking in the city. I'm looking for somebody who is a graphic designer who can come be part of our team, be a freelancer in the city, do graphic design for people, for businesses in the city, but also do ministry in addition to that among our Emirati neighbors. There are so many opportunities. You can work in the health field, in education, in tourism, in business, engineering. Whatever your job is, you could find a place a position in the UAE to come do that job. Do use the skill set that God has honed in you and given you a passion for, but do it among lost people. And that's what our team is. Our team's pretty unique among teams in the Arab world of Live Dead, in that we are all bivocational workers. So it's unique. It has challenges. It's not all it's not all roses, but it works really well for the country and the city that we live in. Because when you do live there as an expat, if you're there without a job, that's weird. And so, because everybody there is there to work, and so when you come in with a legit job, it makes sense to everybody around you, and then you have the opportunity to speak life into them, to share Jesus with them, to show them what it means to be a true believer and follower of Jesus. So yeah, anybody that has any skill set, that has any desire to reach lost people, there are opportunities, especially in the Gulf region, in countries like the UAE, in Saudi, in Qatar, in Bahrain, in Kuwait. Opportunities abound for people who have these skill sets to come and work and do ministry alongside of that.
You know, and that may be resonating with somebody that's watching. And in fact, I'd like to put a link to be able to communicate with Jackie if you're interested in maybe knowing more about, hey, you know, I've got these skill sets. I'd like to go to Dubai. I feel like the Lord's calling me there. You can reach out to Jackie with this link that we're putting right now on the bottom of our screen. But maybe there's also folks that are watching here to say, well, I don't want to go to Dubai. I don't really feel called to go overseas. The mission field is right there outside of your front door. And you know that. I don't have to really tell you that. But there's an opportunity for you to take those same skill sets and use them for the glory of the Lord right there in your community. Maybe all those things that Jackie just listed, maybe your church needs you to step up to the plate and help out with something like that. Maybe they don't have a social media presence and they need one. They're looking to have one, but they just don't know. A pastor doesn't know how to do it. You know, maybe some people in the staff, maybe they don't know how to do it, but you know how to do it. And I don't know, have you ever thought of maybe about calling your pastor and saying, hey, I have this ability, whatever it would be. I have this time and I have the desire. Is there something that I can do that it would benefit my local body of believers? And I would venture to say that the answer would be yes. And so I want to encourage you, if you're watching here today and you might have some skill sets and you're trying to figure out, well, did God just give this to me to make a living? Well, not just to make a living, but he also gave it to you to make a difference. And he called for you to make a difference in your community for the glory of God. Just like Jackie and the rest of the team is doing there in Dubai. And they're rolling up their sleeves and they're bivocational and they're working, making a living. But they're also using that as leveraged opportunity to be able to share the gospel. And I love that. And that's really what God's called all of us to do. You may be retired. You may be watching this and saying, well, I'm not working. I'm retired. I'm enjoying my retirement years. I don't think we ever retire, though, from ministry and from evangelism and from sharing the gospel. So again, you have some skill sets. If you're retired, that means you've worked 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years in some capacity doing one, two, or maybe half a dozen different things in your work life. What can you do to take that skill set or those skill sets and pivot and leverage them for the kingdom of God? I want to encourage you to do that. Jackie, thank you for sharing that part of it to maybe inspire those of us who are sitting back saying, well, what can I do? Well, there's a lot we can do, and the Holy Spirit can show us what that is. One other thing that you said, Jackie, and I want to start taking this home here today, because we're coming up towards the end of our broadcast, but one of the things that you said also in your testimony was that you just kept saying yes. I love that. Can you expound on that a little bit and maybe speak to the folks that are watching here today and how maybe that, you know, how we can encourage all of us to just keep saying yes? What does that look like?
God is faithful. He's so faithful and so true. And I just, you know, often whenever I continue to, this is the other thing too, when I first started out, the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, you're going to mobilize young people, university students to go. And then when I was moving to Dubai, I was like, well, how does that work? And he's like, well, now you're going to have students come to you. You're going to be receiving them rather than sending them. Hmm. And so in all of my conversations with young people, I just kept saying, you know, I just kept saying yes. And no was not an option. No was not, you don't say no to God. Mm. I mean, that's a very dangerous thing to do. And so when I just kept saying yes to God, he just kept building my faith and my trust in him. And it just gets easier and easier and easier to say yes, because you can look back at the journey of that you've been on, of his faithfulness and his goodness and meeting every need at every point along the way. Mm. And so as you just keep saying yes, no fades from view, because you just see his greatness and his sovereignty and his love and his care, not just for me, not just his love and care for me, but his love and his care for people who've never heard the name of Jesus, who don't know the truth about Jesus, who've never heard the gospel. And he just gets bigger in view the more yeses that you give, and it becomes easier to do because you have that journey of faithfulness and just seeing how good he is and how faithful he is, and knowing that he will be that for me in the days to come. He has been in these 4 weeks past. I had surgery 4 weeks ago, and just seeing his faithfulness in getting me to this point and being healthy, knowing that it could have been, what I went through may have stopped somebody and may have taken them from the field and been like, this is too hard, I have to go home. But he's just shown me his care for me to get me to the point of healthy where I can go back in September and just keep going for him, because he's good and he's faithful. And yeses have become just easier. Because
yeah, and I love that, Jackie, because what you're saying is you say yes to him, and it's not always an easy yes. It's not always a yes to pleasant things. It's not always a yes to blessing. Sometimes it's a yes to the hardships. It's a yes to, and we read that all through the book of Acts. Those that said yes to Jesus, many of them gave their lives. And I think we have in our Western culture and our 21st century Christianity that everything needs to be sunshine and roses, but it's not always sunshine and roses. I say this often, with sunshine and roses come sunburns and thorns, and you have to take the good with the bad when it comes down to it. So as we wrap this thing up, Jackie, I want you to pray for those that are viewing, and however the Holy Spirit leads you based on our conversation here today. And then at the end of that, I would like for all of us to pray for Jackie as she continues to say yes to the Lord. I love the idea too, Jackie, that your yeses haven't ended. The yeses have led you to this point where you are today, but those yeses continue, and they should continue for all of us.
The yeses will continue until Jesus comes back.
Amen. Would you pray for us, Jackie, as viewers? And I would ask everyone to bow your heads as Jackie leads us in prayer.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We lift your name on high. You are our King. You are our Savior. You are our friend. And I just pray for everyone listening and watching right now, Lord. I just lift them up to you. And yeses, when you start, can be tricky and difficult and really uncertain. But I just pray that these yeses will begin to come in their lives when you ask hard things, that they will say yes, and they will see your faithfulness just continue on, your goodness continue on, and that the yeses will get easier. And I just pray that for those who have watched today, who are listening right now, who are opening their hearts and their ears to you, Holy Spirit, that you will just begin to speak to them and ask, will you give this next chapter of life to the work of the unreached overseas, to the work of the unreached in America? Will you use the skills and the gifts that I've put inside of you, the passions, the heart? Will you give that for the unreached? And I just pray that right now these first yeses will begin in their hearts, in their spirits, to the core of who they are. And we just pray, Lord, for those who do have these skills in education or healthcare, in tourism, in engineering and science, who would give their time, their life, commit their family to going to the Arab Gulf, to going anywhere from Qatar to Kuwait to Saudi to the UAE to Oman to use their skills for your glory, for your kingdom, not to just work in another place, but to use it as an opportunity to be rooted in a new place among the unreached, where their hearts would be just overflowing with you, Jesus, to their neighbors, to do ministry, to see the gospel spread among these unreached people in the Arab Gulf region. Holy Spirit, I just pray for wonderful stories to come from this conversation that we've had today about what you're doing in the lives of the people who have watched. I just pray that they will take the opportunity, even in the days ahead here between now and the 4th of July, that they will encounter somebody who needs to hear the gospel and they will not hesitate to share. And that in those steps of them saying yes, and taking that first step to say yes, you will give them another opportunity to say yes, to show yourself faithful, to show how good you are, to show your love, not just for them, but for the nations. And that our hearts would also grow for the nations as we take this journey with you. You are faithful. You can be trusted. We love you, Jesus. We thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Lord, for Jackie and for the calling that you placed on her life in Dubai. Pray, Father, for favor, for protection, and that you would increase her efforts for you, that everything that she lays her hands to do will prosper and succeed for your glory and for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had here today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take it and use it to your purposes, to bring glory to your name and strength to your people, and that many souls would be saved as a result of this. And we love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for your time with us today and appreciate your heart. Folks that are watching, just keep saying yes. Just keep saying yes to the Lord and watch those doors open up and watch Him use you for His glory to expand the kingdom of God. God bless you, Jackie. And thank you all for tuning in with us today. Until next time we meet again, join us on The Harvest. Now go out and let's make a difference in the harvest, okay? We'll see you next time. God bless you.